in Parshas Vayakhel, we have the review of how the Mishkan was actually put together, how it's the outside, the inside, right? It talks about the the building campaign, etc. And among the significant items being brought, we said before, were the atzei shittim, which is acacia wood. And the pasuk says, anyone with whom there was this wood, for any work brought it. There was a significant need for this type of wood, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded. This wood was very long, very heavy. And the Midrash in Shira Shirim talks about what we call the central beam that by Nesh actually was long, and when you put it into the crushim, into the pillars, it basically bent at corners. And so there was one big piece of connecting wood. And we know, it's asked, how could they get those types of wood? And it says, well, I'm going to tell you that Yaakov Avinu brought them down from Mitzrayim, brought them down from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim, because he knew. It says, Chazal teach us that Avram Avinu was the one who initially planted these trees in Beersheba. And when Yaakov Avinu then went to Mitzrayim, he took wood from those very trees and brought it to Mitzrayim. The people took this wood with them when they left Mitzrayim, because they had this Kabbalah that this was going to be necessary. They carried this into the Midbar, and they were carrying it now for quite a number of months, at least half a year, when they were putting the Mikdash together. It says that they used, my friend, clones, wood with this pedigree for the very beams of the Mishkan. The Sefer Drash Mordechai, but Rav Mordechai Druck, asks a question from his son. Chazal spend a lot of time giving praise for Moshe Rabbeinu, and that when he was in Mitzrayim, the very last hours, he made it his business to locate and retrieve the bones of Yosef HaTzadik, which he took with him. Chazal praised Moshe Rabbeinu, and note that while the rest of the people were occupying themselves with collecting the booty that they were being allowed to take out to despoil Mitzrayim, Moshe was occupied with the mitzvahs. And in Mishlei it says, the wise of heart will take mitzvahs. The son of Rav Druck asked him, he said, why is there no praise given to the people who at that time made it their business to make sure the shittim wood that Yaakov brought down to Mitzrayim was coming out and take responsibility to schlep it into the Midbar? Right? And he said, let's consider, the central beam was about 64 feet long. And was heavy. And that had to be a very cumbersome task. It was much harder to take responsibility to take care of all that wood his son says. Rather, right, when we compare it to carrying one Aron, or even if you say they were carrying the Aronis of all the Shlatim, still, this tremendous piece of wood, right, took a lot of activity. Rav Druk said, I gave my son an answer, and then he came up with his own. Rav Druk said, the praise given to Moshe was not merely the fact that he schlepped the Aron of Yosef, but the fact that he did it while everyone else was busy collecting money. When somebody has the following choice, what do you do? On the one hand, Hashem says, go to the vault and take out as much money as you like. Gold, silver, diamonds, rubies. He says, everybody, right, will say, what a great mitzvah. God's giving me a mitzvah to enrich myself. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do? And Moshe Rabbeinu said, hold on. I'm going to forget about the money. I'm going to forget about the riches. We made a promise to Yosef HaTzadik to take his remains out of Mitzrayim. The praise bestowed on Moshe is not for the schlepping that he did. It's not based on the pounds or the kilograms, as he says, for those of us who are a metric, right? Because if that were the case, there's no question. The wood carriers were tremendous people in that respect. They out-carried Moshe. But the question is, okay, when you do a mitzvah with no matan schara bedida, when you're doing a mitzvah, you've got a choice of two mitzvahs. One, you can see the reward immediately, and there's another mitzvah that you have no idea what the reward will be. That's why Moshe is given the great praise. He put his efforts into doing a mitzvah that no one else, right, put themselves to. And he gave up the riches for the mitzvah. Rav Druk's son said something else. Moshe Rabbeinu saw a distinction between a mitzvah bein adam lemakim, man and God, and a mitzvah ben Adam l'chaveroi. Work to build a shul is an attractive mitzvah. Goodbye.
To mute conference participants, press 1. To mute, all participants are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
He says, people come to shul, and they can say, ugh, I was involved. Look at these pews. I helped cut the wood. I did the carpentry wood. Somebody else will say, I built this cabinet where the sforim are. It's a mitzvah that will give me a certain amount of praise, hopefully social accolades, and that is an incentive to do the mitzvah. However, people who go out of their way to do a mitzvah privately for someone, oftentimes, and most of the time, don't do it for glory or publicity, and don't get it. They're happy to help someone in need, and they don't want anyone to know. This is from the Yiddish Neshama, the Yiddish hearts. He said, Yosef HaTzadik, leftover, right? Great-grandchildren. There were people, right? There was the Shevet Menashe, the Shevet Ephraim. This was their great-great Zeta. Why weren't they there? Why didn't they go out and insist on bringing his kever? Right? Moshe Rabbeinu, when he saw no one else was acting, went out of his way and did the mitzvah. He says, Rav Zilberstein has a sefer when he brings certain incidents with regards to the mitzvos of the mitzvos that are spring-like. We know one of them is the mitzvah of making the bracha on Ilonai. So when we see the fruit trees budding, there's a bracha to make. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Gadol HaDor, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was walking down a street in Chodesh Nisan. And he passed a house with a fruit tree. He stopped, and he was ready to make the bracha and do the mitzvah. All of a sudden, another Yid came by and said, Rebbe, if you go two blocks down the street, you will find a home that has two blossoming trees in front of it. And we know there's a Kabbalistic preference to do it, right, when there's two trees, not one. What did Rav Shlomo Zalman do? He put his hand on the man's shoulder and he said, take a look. Look in the window. You see there's an almona, a widow in the house. Right? She's standing at the window and she's recognized me. And she has a feeling of pride that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, the Poseik HaDor, is stopping at my house to do this bracha. It's a bigger mitzvah for me to make the bracha here and not look for the hidur, for the, right, the enhancement by going to the Kabbalistic, right, way going down the street. What I can do in making this almana feel good is worth much more and is probably more pleasing to the Rabbona Shel Olam than going down the street to do a bigger mitzvah. This is an example that people can sometimes actually do a mitzvah ben adam l'chaveroi, which turns out to be a mitzvah as well ben adam l'makom, because it gives tremendous nachas to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. The private chesed that Moshe Rabbeinu did in carrying the bones of Yosef HaTzadik was much bigger than schlepping the wood for the Mishkan. Right? We're told in the Torah, every man, presumably every person, whose heart inspired him, came. Everyone who was generous brought a korban to Hashem, or brought materials. After Moshe called the people, the people started bringing in material left after right. It says the men came upon the women, meaning the men came with the women. However, the Das Zakein in Baal HaTosfos says something different. The Pesukim reveal that their items donated included women's jewelry. And the women did this with Shem Shamayim. The men thought that the women might be reluctant to give their jewelry to the Beis HaMikdash. And so they may have, he maybe said, my dear, I took it. However, we're told by Chazal, the women gave willingly. And therefore, they were given a reward that Rosh Chodesh is considered a quasi Yom Tov for them. And as Shulchan Aruch says, women didn't do work at a certain time when Rosh Chodesh was declared.
Every Rosh Chodesh?
I never looked at the, supposedly, right? And the question is, he says, when did HaKadosh Baruch Hu designate Rosh Chodesh being whatever this respite from work is as a schar, reward for willing donation of jewelry to the Mikdash? The Das Tikkanim brings the parable. Not a parable, I would say a comparison. When the Egel was done, the women had no desire to have their jewelry used for this fashion. The men had to yank it away. The women wanted no part of this. They knew what was wrong, and they weren't giving in one iota. But when it came to the Mishkan, as is the case in human nature, there were some people, some men, who weren't the greatest givers. You know, we all have different, and it seems their wives castigated them. And they said, this is an opportunity, and you're not going to grab the mitzvah. And they gave, you know, they brought their jewelry, you know, sometimes to the aghast of their husband. Okay. The Das Zakenim theorizes that because the Mishkan was put up and wasn't taken down on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that's why Rosh Chodesh was given as a special day to the women for their great devotion to the Mishkan. And my friend says, okay, but is there a special connection of Rosh Chodesh with the actions of the women? And he says, in the Shemen HaTov Sefer by Rav Dov Weinberger, he talks about the kior of copper, and we're told the kior was made from the very mirrors that the women had in Mitzrayim to beautify themselves. They took these mirrors, beautified themselves, and they would go out where their husbands were working in the fields. They would bring them some food and water, etc., and they would entice them. And it says that's the only reason why we had a significant number of children going out of Mitzrayim. Right? Initially, Moshe was a bit reluctant to take them. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how can I take these mirrors, which were really the shiny pieces of metal, which are used basically to entice husbands in the Mikdash. And the Kaddish Baruch Hu said to Moshe, they are Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish. They are the holiest of holy. That's why we have a nation. Right? And my friend goes on and he says, we see that the women always had the innate hope of redemption. Nobody would want to have a child to have it thrown into the Nile or, God forbid, built into the bricks. But these women believed this torture was going to end. They knew that Hashem had promised Avram Avinu that the time is going to come when all this terrible experience would end. This was the hope that the women had. When the Mishkan was built, the women felt that a large portion of the hope they had was being realized. And therefore, they wanted to give tribute to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They had been shown by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that their belief in the rejuvenation, in the creation of the Jewish nation, right, had happened. The men said to the women, you know, the Mishkan is really a backhand, right? We wanted a Kaddish Baruch Hu to be the way it was before the Egel, some type of greater realization, not the fact that a Kaddish Baruch Hu Shekhinah is somehow confined in the area between the Kruvim. And they say, we feel that this Mishkan is really a testament to our failure. The women said, yeah, in retrospect, it would have been a lot better had the sin of the Egel never occurred. And it would have been much better if we could still have the obvious feeling of the Shekhinah. But what is reality, right? Reality is, right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has said, this is the way it's got to be. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is the way it's got to be, you fall in line. Again, they said, we will go to further renewal. So the women always had this feeling that the ultimate geula, the renewal of Klal Yisroel, its strength in rejuvenating would always occur. The symbol of rejuvenating is Rosh Chodesh. The moon, as we know, right, from our view, small, small, bigger, 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 and wanes, and it's gone. But it's, before we know it, it's back again. That's Klal Yisroel. Rosh Chodesh says, I'm renewing you again. And we always say, right, in the bracha for Rosh Chodesh, David Melech Yisrael Chai Chai V'Kayom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I'm giving the women a holiday on the day of renewal. Because of their great dedication, because of their great optimism, and because of their great sacrifice, this is the appropriate reward for them, and that's why Rosh Chodesh, we're told, was given to them as a special day. Okay.